Greetings, my brothers and sisters, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. The last few weeks I've been speaking on the thought to be found faithful. This morning I woke up with these scriptures running through my mind, a different direction to take this thought, a different approach. I pray that I can share this thought with you in such a way that it will be a blessing unto you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the scripture declares, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A steward in the ancient world was a person who was given the responsibility and the authority to rule over the affairs of a household. To be found faithful, we must understand what the master desires for us to do with what he has entrusted unto us. How can we be faithful if we don't know what he desires? He desires us to be found righteous. We must understand righteousness is something we possess and something we can attain. We are not justified by our righteousness. The righteousness of faith has been imputed unto us, yet we are to live righteously before God and in this present world. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It is given to teach us how to walk faithful unto our Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." What we see in this scripture is Jesus was entrusted with authority, power. All authority rested within the Father. What Jesus possessed was given to him. He is the Christ, the one that is anointed of God, invested with authority. I read this quote and I really liked it. It says, "If we don't know who Jesus is, then we don't know who we are in Christ." When we see how Jesus was faithful to the Father, we will better understand how we can be faithful unto God. Many times Brother Branham would state he did not believe in the oneness or the Trinity. Both of these ideas miss out on the proper relationship between the Father and the Son. The understanding of who Jesus is and the relationship between the Father and the Son is not just a theological debate. It is the very essence of who we are. Our message to be found faithful. The key is Jesus was found faithful to the authority that the Father had invested in him. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, we read, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Jesus, he is our example. To walk in the scripture, it declares that it means to have a conduct or behavior which supports our testimony, the expression of our heart. The Christian's walk will be in stark contrast to that of the unbelievers. The question, what does it mean to be Christ-like, to be a Christian, to walk even as he walked? In Hebrews chapter 3, we just read this, but I'll read a little bit more from it. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." We understand that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. He was born in Bethlehem. We will not find him as a person in the Old Testament, but we will find him in the types and shadows written there, for he may be found in the mind of God from the very foundation of the world. A prophet likened unto Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, It says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him ye shall hearken." This is important to understand who this prophet is. It is speaking of the Messiah to come. The Jewish people understand that the Lord would raise this man up from among their brethren. And this man would be likened unto Moses. In Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3, it says this, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." And the question we could ask is, what did this meekness look like? In Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18, it says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee," speaking to Moses, "and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." He would speak the words that he would hear. Jesus is our example in this. He would make the statement, "My doctrine is not my own. The words that I speak, these are the words that I've heard of my Father. The works that I do, they are not my own. They are the works that I've seen with my Father." No, this is where people miss the picture. Jesus is a steward unto God. He will be invested with the authority to speak as if he was God himself. Not only in Moses, but we can also look at the story of Joseph. Next to Jesus, Joseph was probably the most famous steward in the Bible. Joseph was beloved of the Father. He became the steward of Potiphar. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1, it says this, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him oversee over his house, and all that he had he put in his hand." His master saw, what did he see? His works, the expression of his life. And because of this, he entrusted unto him his wealth. Joseph would go on to become the steward of the prison keeper. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20, it says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand or under his authority, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Key, this is key. Four times we read the statement, "The Lord was with him." It is the Lord who enables us to be found faithful. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, it says this, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, we know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached." This is our starting point, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What is this power? It is authority. God the Father has invested authority in Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And then notice this, it will make the same statement that we see of Joseph, "For God was with him." Let us be honest, it does not say that he was God, but that God was with him. Now the Jews would make a statement one time when they saw Jesus, And Jesus had told a man that his sins were forgiven. The Jews would say this: only God can forgive sins. And then this question could be asked: then how did Jesus forgive sins unless he was God? The scripture declares plainly, Jesus was given the authority to do this. He was a steward unto God. God had invested in him the authority to act on his behalf. Then we read in the story of Joseph that Joseph would become a steward unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh would entrust into him his wealth and his goods. Genesis 41 and verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Notice this key also. Once more, what Joseph was possessed was the Lord is with him. The expression of his life unto others, his testimony, the fruit, the works of Joseph testified that God was with him. And because of this, Pharaoh could find confidence in him. Verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house a steward, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. Now, when we read that Joseph is set over all the land of Egypt, we understand that he has been entrusted with the wealth and riches and the authority of Pharaoh. But Pharaoh tells us in verse 40, in the throne will I be greater than thou. This is key, only in the throne. In 1 Corinthians 15, 27, when we read about the authority, the position of the kingdom that is placed within Jesus Christ, it says this, and this is out of the New Living Translation. For the scripture says, God has put all things under his authority. Of course, when it says all things are under his authority, that does not include God himself, who gave Christ his authority. Christ has been given the authority to rule the household of God, to stand really in the place of God himself. In Genesis 41 and verse 43, speaking of Joseph again, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. We could ask this question, if he is ruler over all the land of Egypt, why is he riding in the second chariot? Because he is Pharaoh's steward. Pharaoh is riding in the first chariot. And we can see this same picture with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has been given all authority, but we understand that he is to act on behalf of God the Father unto mankind. Verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he says to you, do. What we see in this scripture is the bread belonged to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh had entrusted this authority to distribute the bread to Joseph. So he would tell the people that if you would desire to receive the bread, to receive life, you must go to Joseph, because Joseph was entrusted with all the riches of Egypt. This is key to understanding what God means when he says he is our only Savior. By what means will he bring about salvation? In Genesis 43 and verse 19, it says this, and they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house. And then in Genesis 44 and verse 1, he says, and he commanded the steward of his house. What we understand here is Pharaoh has entrusted his authority unto Joseph as the steward of his home. But then in Genesis 43 and verse 40, in chapter 44, we read that Joseph himself has taken his authority and entrusted it into another, a steward of his household. Who is this speaking of? Hey, this is us. We are stewards in Joseph's house, or really we are stewards in the household of Jesus the Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." God is our Savior, but the means that he uses to reconcile us is through Christ Jesus, the one that he has invested with this authority, this position. And then it says, "and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." So God has this desire to reconcile mankind unto himself. He uses Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ invests into us, the church, the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, think about this, God has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh my, what a powerful thing, a priceless treasure God has invested into the hands of the church. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So we can speak to people as Christ himself and as God would beseech a person through us. "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." God is our Savior. Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, is the mediator between God and man. And the church has been invested with the ministry of reconciliation. In Genesis 45, and we'll try to finish this up real quick. "Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." Now we understand when Joseph said this, he was not exalting himself above Pharaoh. That Pharaoh had actually invested in him lordship over Egypt. And Genesis 47, and we will stop there. "And they said," and this is the people speaking to Joseph, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be thy servants." That's not what the scripture says. "Thou hast saved our lives." Who? Joseph is the savior of Egypt. "Let us find grace in thy sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." Oh my, Jesus Christ has saved us that to the glory of God the Father, and has invested into his church authority, power, the ministry of reconciliation. Oh my, let us think upon these things today. The responsibility and the power and the privilege we have been given to possess a ministry of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. I love you, my brothers and sisters. We will continue on tomorrow.